96 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let us return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 2 Samuel 19 to 24. It was told Joab, the king of weeping, the king is weeping and mourning for Absalom. So the victory that day was turning into mourning for all the troops, for the troops heard that day, the king is grieving for his son. The troops stole into the city that day as soldiers steal in who are ashamed when they flee in battle. The king covered his face and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have covered with shame the faces of all your officers who have saved your life today and the lives of your sons and your daughters and the lives of your wives and your concubines for love of those who hate you and for hatred of those who love you. You have made it clear today that commanders and officers are nothing to you, for I perceive that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead today, that you would be pleased. So go out at once and speak kindly to your servants, for I swear by the Lord, if you do not go, not a man will stay with you this night. And this will be worse for you than any disaster that has come upon you from your youth until now." Then the king got up and took his seat in the gate. The troops were all told, "See, the king is sitting in the gate," and all the troops came before the king. David recalled to Jerusalem. Meanwhile, all the Israelites had fled to their homes. All the people were disputing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and saved us from the hand of the Philistines. And now he has fled out of the land because of Absalom. But Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now, therefore, why do you say nothing about bringing the king back?" King David sent his message to the priests Zadok and Abiathar, "Say to the elders of Judah, why should you be the last to bring the king back to the house? The talk of all Israel has come to the king. You are my kin, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? So may God do to me and more if you are not the commander of my army from now on in place of Joab." Amasa swayed the hearts of all the people of Judah as one, and they sent word to the king, "Return, both you and all your servants." So the king came back to the Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to meet the king and to bring him over the Jordan. Shimei, son of Gera, a Benjaminite from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the people of Judah to meet King David. And with him were 1,000 people from Benjamin. And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, with his 15 sons and his 20 servants, rushed down to the Jordan ahead of the king, while the crossing was taking place, to bring over the king's household and to do his pleasure. David's mercy to Shimei. Shimei, son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was about to cross the Jordan. And he said to the king, "May my lord not hold me guilty or remember how your servant did wrong on the day my lord the king left Jerusalem. May the king not bear it in mind, for your servant knows that I have sinned. Therefore, see, I have come this day, the first of all the house of Joseph, to come down to meet my lord the king." Abishai, son of Zeruiah, answered, "Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed?" But David said, "What have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah, that you should today become an adversary to me? Shall anyone be put to death in Israel this day? For do I not know that I am this day king over Israel?" The king said to Shimei, "You shall not die," and the king gave him his oath. David and Mephibosheth meet. Mephibosheth, grandson of Saul, came down to meet the king. He had not taken care of his feet or trimmed his beard or washed his clothes from the day the king left until the day he came back in safety. When he came to Jerusalem to meet the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" He answered, "My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said to him, 'Saddle a donkey for me that I may ride on it and go with the king,' for your servant is lame. He has slandered your servant to my lord the king, but the lord the king is the angel of God. Do therefore what seems good to you. For all my father's house were doomed to death before my lord the king, but you set your servant among those who eat at your table. What further right have I than to appeal to the king?" The king said to him, "Why speak of any more of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land." Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him take it all, since my lord the king has arrived home safely." David's kindness to Barzillai. Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogelim. He went on with the king to the Jordan to escort him over the Jordan. Barzillai was a very aged man, 80 years old. He had provided the king with food while he stayed at Mahanaim, for he was a very wealthy man. The king said to Barzillai, "Come over with me, and I will provide for you in Jerusalem at my side." But Barzillai said to the king, "How many years have I still to live that I shall go up with the king to Jerusalem? Today I am 80 years old. Can I discern what is pleasant and what is not? Can your servant taste what he eats or what he drinks? Can I still listen to the voice of singing men and singing women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant will go a little way over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Please let your servant return so that I may die in my own town near the graves of my father and my mother. But here is your servant, Chimham. Let him go over with my lord the king and do for him whatever seems good to you." The king answered, "Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do for him whatever seems good to you, and all that you desire of me I will do for you." Then all the people crossed over the Jordan, and the king crossed over. The king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his own home. The king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went with him. All the people of Judah and also half the people of Israel brought the king on his way. Then all the people of Israel came to the king and said to him, "Why have our kindred, the people of Judah, stolen you away and brought the king and his household over the Jordan and all David's men with him?" All the people of Judah answered the people of Israel, "Because the king is near kin to us. Why then are you angry over this matter? Have we eaten at all at the king's expense, or has he given us any gift?" But the people of Israel answered the people of Judah, "We have 10 shares in the king, and in David also we have more than you. Why then did you despise us? We were not the first to speak of bringing back our king." But the words of the people of Judah were fiercer than the words of the people of Israel. The Rebellion of Sheba. Now a scoundrel named Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjaminite, happened to be there. He sounded the trumpet and cried out, "We have no portion in David, no share in the son of Jesse. Everyone to your tents, O Israel." So all the people of Israel withdrew from David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the people of Judah followed their king steadfastly from the Jordan to Jerusalem. David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 concubines whom he had left to look after the house and put them in a house under guard and provided for them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as if in widowhood. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call the men of Judah together to me within 3 days and be here yourself." So Amasa went to summon Judah, but he delayed beyond the set time that had been appointed him. David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba, son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servant and pursue him, or he will find fortified cities for himself and escape from us." Joab's men went out after him, along with Cherethites, the Pelethites, and all the warriors. They went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone that is in Gibeon, Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was wearing a soldier's garment, and over it was a belt with a sword in its sheath fastened at his waist. As he went forward, it fell out. Joab said to Amasa, "It is well with you, my brother." And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword in Joab's hand. Joab struck him in the belly so that his entrails poured out on the ground and he died. He did not strike a second blow. Then Joab and his brother Abishai pursued Sheba, son of Bichri, and one of Joab's men took his stand by Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." Amasa lay wallowing in his blood on the highway, and the men saw that all the people were stopping. Since he saw that all who came by him were stopping, he carried Amasa from the highway into a field and threw a garment over him. Once he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, son of Bichri. Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Bethmaachah, and all the Bichrites assembled and followed him inside. Joab's forces came and besieged him in Abel of Bethmaachah. They threw up a siege ramp against the city, and it stood against the rampart. Joab's forces were battling the wall to break it down. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab, come here, I want to speak with you." He came near her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your servant." He answered, "I am listening." Then she said, "They used to say in the old days, let them inquire at Abel, and so they would settle a matter. I am one of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city that is a mother in Israel. Why will you swallow up the heritage of the Lord?" Joab answered, "Far be it from me, far be it that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not the case. But a man of the hill country of Ephraim called Sheba, son of Bichri, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give him up alone, and I will withdraw from the city." The woman said to Joab, "His head shall be thrown over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise plan, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they dispersed from the city, and all went to their homes, while Joab returned to Jerusalem to the king. Now Joab was in command of all the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was in command of the Cherethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of the forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the recorder. Sheva was secretary. Zadok and Abathar were priests, and Ira the Jairite was also David's priest. David avenges the Gibeonites. Now there was a famine in the days of David for 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. The Lord said, "There is blood guilt on Saul and on his house because he put the Gibeonites to death." So the king called the Gibeonites and spoke to them. Now the Gibeonites were not of the people of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, although the people of Israel had sworn to spare them. Saul had tried to wipe them out in his zeal for the people of Israel and Judah. David said to the Gibeonites, "What shall I do for you? How shall I make expiation that you may bless the heritage of the Lord?" The Gibeonites said to him, "It is not a matter of silver or gold between us and Saul or his house. Neither is it for us to put anyone to death in Israel." He said, "What do you say that I should do for you?" They said to the king, "The man who consumed us and planned to destroy us so that we should have no place in all the territory of Israel, let seven of his sons be handed over to us, and we will impale them before the Lord at Gibeon on the mountain of the Lord." The king said, "I will hand them over." But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Saul's son Jonathan, because of the oath of the Lord that was between them, between David and Jonathan, son of Saul. The king took the two sons of Risbas, daughter of Aiah, whom she bore to Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, the five sons of Merib, daughter of Saul, whom she bore to Adriel, son of Marzillai, the Maholathite. He gave them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they impaled them on the mountain before the Lord. The seven of them perished together. They were put to death in the first days of the harvest, at the beginning of barley harvest. Then Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it on a rock for herself. From the beginning of harvest until rain fell on them from the heaven, she did not allow the birds of the air to come on the bodies by day or the wild animals by night. When David was told what Rizpah, daughter of Ai, had, the concubine of Saul, had done, David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan from the people of Jabesh Gilead, who had stolen them from the public square of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hung them up on the day of the Philistines killed Saul on Gilboa. He brought up from there the bones of Saul and the bones of his son Jonathan, and they gathered the bones of those who had been impaled. They buried the bones of Saul and of his son Jonathan in the land of Benjamin and Zelah, and the tomb of his father Kish. They did all that the king commanded. After that, God heeded supplication for the land. Exploits of David's men. The Philistines went to war again with Israel, and David went down together with his servants. They fought against the Philistines, and David grew weary. Ishbi-benob, one of the descendants of the giants, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze and who was fitted out with new weapons, said he would kill David. But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, came to his aid and attacked the Philistine and killed him. Then David's men swore to him, "You shall not go out with us to battle any longer, so that you do not quench the lamp of Israel." After this, a battle took place with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sebekai the Hushathite killed Saph, who was one of the descendants of the giants. Then there was another battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Elhanan, son of Jair Oregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. There was again war at Gath, where there was a man of great size who had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot, 24 in number. He too was descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, son of David's brother Shimei, killed him. These four were descendants from the giants in Gath. They fell by the hand of David and his servants. David's Song of Thanksgiving. David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompass me, the torrents of perdition assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, to my God I called. From his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations of the heavens trembled and reeled because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him a canopy, thick clouds a gathering water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare, at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He reached from on high, he took me, he drew me out of mighty waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me out into a broad place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his ordinances were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the loyal you shall show yourself. Loyal. With the blameless, you shall show yourself blameless. With the pure, you show yourself pure. With the crooked, you show yourself shrewd. You deliver a humble people, but your eyes are upon the haughty to bring them down. Indeed, you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord lightens my darkness. But you, I cannot run a troop, and by my God, I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The promise of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord, and who is a rock except our God? The God has girded me with strength, has opened wide my path. He made my feet like the feet of deer, and he set me secure on the heights. He trains my hand for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your help has made me great. You have made me stride freely, and my feet do not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them, and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them, I struck them down so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you girded me with strength for the battle. You made my assailants sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was no one to save them. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine like the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with the peoples. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I had not known served me. Foreigners came cringing to me. As soon as they heard of me, they obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their strongholds. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock and exalted be my God, the rock of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above my adversaries. You delivered me from the violent. For this I extol you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. He is a tower of salvation for his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. The last words of David. Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, this oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me, his word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken, the Rock of Israel has said to me, the one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of the morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help when my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with a hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot. David's mighty men. These are the names of the warriors whom David had. Jehoshabeth, a Tachmonite, he was chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 800 whom he killed at one time. Next to him among the three warriors was Eleazar, son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle. The Israelites withdrew, but he stood his ground. He struck down the Philistines until his army grew weary through his hand, clung to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Then the people came back to him, but only to strip the dead. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils, and armies fled the Philistines. But he took his stand in the middle of the plot, defended it, and killed the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Towards the beginning of harvest, three of the 30 chiefs went down to join David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines were encamped in the valley of Rehob. David was then in stronghold, and the garrisons of the Philistines was then at Bethlehem. David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three warriors broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well at Bethlehem that was by the gate, and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord, for he said, "The Lord forbid that I shall do this. Can I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. The three warriors did these things. Now Abishai, son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab, was chief of the 30. With his spear he fought against 300 men and killed them and won a battle beside the three. He was the most renowned of the 30 and became their commander, but he did not attain to the three. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant warrior from Kabzeel, a doer of great deeds. He struck down two sons of Ariel of Moab. He also went down and killed a lion in a pit on a day when snow had fallen. And he killed an Egyptian, a handsome man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but Benaiah went against him with a staff, snatched the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Such were the things Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, did, and won a name beside the three warriors. He was renowned among the 30, but he did not attain to the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. Among the 30 were Azahel, brother of Joab, Elhanan, son of Dodo of Bethlehem, Shema of Herod, Elika of Herod, Helez the Paltite, Ira, son of Ikesh of Tekoi, Abizar of Anathoth, Mabonai the Hishatite, Zalman the Ahohite, Maharai of Netophah, Heleb son of Banah of Netophah, Ittai son of Ribai of Gibeah of the Benjaminites, Benaiah of Perathon, Hidai of the Wadis of Gosh, Abi Alban the Arbathite, Arva of Bahurim, Eliaba of Shalban, the sons of Jeshen, Jonathan, son of Shema, the Hararite, Ahiam, son of Sharar, the Hararite, Eliphelet, son of Ahashbi of Makkah, Eliam, son of Ahithophel, the Gileonite, Hezra of Carmel, Parah of Arbite, Egal, son of Nathan of Zobah, Benai the Gadite, Zelech the Ammonite, Naharai of Beroth, the armor bearer of Joab, son of Zeruiah, Ira the Ithrite, Gareb the Ithrite, Uriah the Hittite, 37 in all. David's census of Israel and Judah. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, "Go count the people of Israel and Judah." So the king said to Joab and the commanders of the army who were with him, "Go through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and take a census of the people so that I may know how many there are." But Joab said to the king, "May the Lord your God increase the number of the people a hundredfold while the eyes of my lord the king can still see it. But why does my lord the king want to do this?" But the king's word prevailed against Joab and the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to take a census of the people of Israel. They crossed the Jordan and began from Aroer, and from the city that is in the middle of the valley towards Gad and on to Jazer. Then they came to Gilead and to Kadesh in the land of the Hittites, and they came to Dan, and from Dan they went around to Sidon, and they came to the fortress of Tyre and to all the cities of the Hivites and the Canaanites, and they went out to Negeb of Judah of Beersheba. So when they had gone through all the land, they came back to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. Joab reported to the king the number of those who had been recorded in Israel. There were 800,000 soldiers able to draw the sword, and those of Judah were 500,000. Judgment on David's sin. But afterward, David was stricken to the heart because he had numbered the people. David said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done, but now, O Lord, I pray, take away the guilt that your servant, for I have done very foolishly." When David rose in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say to David, thus says the Lord, three things I offer you. Choose one of them, and I will do it to you. So Gad came to David and told him, he said, shall 7 years of famine come to you on your land, or will you flee 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now consider and decide what answer I shall return to the one who sent me. Then David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercy is great, but let me not fall into human hands. So the Lord sent a pestilence on Israel from that morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 of the people died from Dan to Beersheba. But when the angel stretched out his hand towards Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented concerning the evil and said to the angel who was bringing destruction among the people, it is enough, now stay your hand. The angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. David looked up and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, and in his hand a drawn sword stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, clothed in sackcloth, fell on their faces. When David saw the angel who was destroying the people, he said to the Lord, I alone have sinned, and I, the shepherd, have done evil. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house. David's altar on the threshing floor. That day Gad came to David and said to him, go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna the Jebusite. Following Gad's instructions, David went up as the Lord had commanded. When Arauna looked down, he saw the king and his servants coming towards him. And Arauna went out and prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. Arauna said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, so that the plague may be averted from the people. Then Arauna said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems good to him. Here are the oxen for the burnt offering and the threshing sledges and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. All this, O king, Arauna gives to the king. And Arauna said to the king, may the Lord your God respond favorably to you. But the king said to Arauna, no, but I will buy them from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and offerings of well-being. So the Lord answered his supplication for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? David is grieving the death of his son. He refuses to participate in planned celebrations and requires that others grieve along him. He is called out for not meeting the needs of the people. How might this story inform us in times of grief? How might we hold on to the memories of those we have lost and heal from the trauma of those who have caused us harm, while not forsaking our responsibilities and ignoring those who are with us? How do we honor the dead? We also read of how David buried the bones of Saul and his descendants. After that, God heeded supplications for the land. Following what feels like endless acts of violence, Rizpah serves as a witness to the ways of God, honoring the remains of Saul's descendants. It is this witness that led to David commanding that the bones of Saul and his family be buried. It is this witness that led God to heed the people of Israel. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one. Thank you.